I love, I love, I love your presence. I love, I love, I love your presence. I love, I love, I love you, Jesus. I love, I love, I love your presence.
He is here right now.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just really wanted to share something that I spoke on a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday, and I feel like it's a word for someone today. And it's a reminder. How many know as we continue into looking into the perfect law of liberty, into the word, amen, it's a reminder. It's like looking in the mirror and being reminded once again, oh yeah, I see my reflection again. I see how I really am. Come on. And when you get up in the morning, I trust that we go to the mirror, right? And we do something with what we see. Not everybody, okay, but I do. And sometimes I'm scared by what I see, but, you know. But there's this thing called grooming, you know, and you can correct some things in the hair that's like, you know. But we look in the mirror, and the mirror says, wash, right? Brush, right? What does it just say, right? Shave, maybe, if you're a guy, right? Put a hat on it. But the Word of God is like that. You know, we got to stay in the Word, amen? And God will, it's like a correction of course. We don't have to go all the way back and start all over again. But sometimes we just need a course correction, amen? And the Word of God does that for us. We pray and let the Holy Spirit, you know, teach us through that. And he opens the word to us. You know, it wasn't until they broke bread with Jesus that they recognized who he was after he rose. And he walked with them along the road to Emmaus, remember? They thought he might have been the gardener or somebody on a journey. And Jesus has a sense of humor because he was just walking with them. And what are you guys so bummed out about, you know, modern tech, right? And so finally, he said, why don't you stay in with us for the night? Okay. And then they broke bread and they recognized Jesus. And then he vanished out of their sight. Can you imagine, you know? God has a sense of humor. Yeah, and but they didn't recognize him until he was revealed by him to them, right? You can't know him except by revelation. You know, there could be a Jesus of our own imagination that we fashioned in our own imagination. And that sometimes that Jesus is the one that suits us, right? Suits ourselves. Well, your Jesus might be like that, but my Jesus is. I want to know who the real Jesus is. Amen. And I don't need somebody else to tell me who he's like. I need to have the Holy Spirit reveal that to me. I mean, you know, you can talk to some people till they're blue in the face and they're still not getting it. Until the Holy Spirit unveils their eyes and allows them to see Jesus. Come on. You can't learn God in a classroom. There's people that are full of theology, but they don't know the God of that theology. I want to know him. That's eternal life. And isn't it good just to worship the Lord and sing and gather and enjoy the presence of the Lord this morning? If God gives you a word, be faithful to speak that word. Amen. God shows you something. But I find that His ways are not my ways. I have my agenda sometimes, thinking, well, this is what I'm imagining what's going to happen. But I find out that when I get there, then I'll find out what's happening. You know what I'm talking about? Well, it should look like this, or it should look like that. Well, God doesn't do things the way we think He should do it. He's sovereign. He's going to do it His way. And each time we get together is going to be a little different. Can you say amen to that? Because sometimes what happens is we become religious is when we try to freeze frame something that happened, an experience, and we try to live out of that experience from that point on. It's like a move of God. You know, people try to form, you know, something out of that and say, well, we'll have this type of movement and this type of denomination based upon a certain move of God at a certain time in history. Come on. And we can miss out on what God is doing in the now. Because we're stuck in our tradition. Even as Pentecostals, we can become very traditional. Well, this is the way we always do it. Why? Because that's the way we did it 200 years ago. Well, His word does not change, but the methods do change. God does things differently. And He surprises us. We talk about prayer. Lord, surprise us. How many like those divine surprises when just God does something and unexpected? And how traumatic it is sometimes when we're really praying and asking God to give us revelation about a decision we need to make, and we're not hearing from Him. Ever have those moments? When God is silent, title of the message. It's probably not the original, but that works when God is silent. Sometimes we can interpret a situation when God isn't speaking to us as a sign of God being absent from us. Confuse the two. Just because God's not speaking, or maybe He is, but we're not listening. But sometimes He's speaking to us and we're not listening. And other times, He's silent. But don't interpret that as Him being absent. Because that's when we start to get into trouble. God left me. God's not there. Sometimes God is speaking to us. We're not listening. Amen. Other times God has already told us what to do. And He's not going to speak to us again about the matter until we do what He told us to do the first time. How many ever said to your kids, do I have to repeat myself? He gave us His word. Come on. A sure word of prophecy. Amen. Job was. So how many have found. Had confided in Job when you're going through a rough time in your life. In 23 verse 8. Job 23 verse 8. He was going through, of course, the greatest trial of his life. And he was struggling with his own anxious thoughts. Because of the fiery trial he was experiencing. And sometimes things don't make sense to us, naturally speaking. Well, Lord, what did I do to deserve this? Ever say that one? We also ask the Lord, Lord, what did I do to deserve Your grace? And He'll say nothing. Amen. So when things aren't going the way we expect them to go, we shouldn't be saying, God, why is this happening to me? How many know the potter knows how to deal with the clay? He knows what it takes to get us to the place we need to be, where we can become that vessel of honor that God can pour His glory into, amen. And sometimes we take that wild ride on the wheel, amen. And we're like, what in the world? Everything is like spinning right now. But when it gets done, we come into a place of rest. And voila, look at the beautiful product. A vessel that's been made ready. It's now going to have to be tried in the fire. And the kiln, right, is going to have to get some heat so that it will be able to endure and become strong so it can contain the precious ointment of His presence. Amen. So Job said in verse 8, look, I go forward, but he's not there. And backwards, but I cannot perceive Him. And when He works on the left hand, I cannot behold Him. When He turns to the right hand, I cannot see Him. Ever felt that way? But yet He didn't finish there. He went on to say in verse 10, and He prophesied. You have to wonder, did He know He was prophesying? In verse 10, He says, but He knows the way that I take. So He's having another thought come in here. But He knows the way that I take. And when He has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Amen. My foot has held fast to His steps. I have kept His way and not turned aside. So how many know that God wasn't punishing Job? But sometimes when we're going through a trial, we can think, God must be punishing me for something I did. He disciplines us, amen, but it's not always the case. I have not departed, He said, from the commandment of His lips. Because He was doing a soul search here. But of course, if we're all honest about it, our soul search is insufficient. But the Holy Spirit really knows what's going on. I mean, you know, right? I'd rather trust His judgment of me instead of my own. Because sometimes we're giving ourselves grace, and the grace we give ourselves, come on, will not save, will not correct. You'll justify your own way. We're good at that, aren't we? Well, I'll find a way in my imagination to make this work. I know what He said, but there's got to be a loophole somewhere in the Word. He says, I have treasured the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Yeah. So these are the times, the difficult times when God seems, I say seems, to be silent. But He's not. And I use the illustration of pain. You know, sometimes we're going through those times of pain. It could be emotional pain, grief, you know, physical pain. But you ever thought, ever asked yourself or thought, Lord, where are You when you're going through that time of pain? You want this thing to be over like yesterday. I've spent some time in pain. I know what that's like. But God had never left me. And God wanted me to trust Him that He was going to work it together for good. How many know that there is a purpose to pain? Pain is actually a good thing, because if you don't have pain, you can injure yourself further and not realize you're injuring yourself. And that's sometimes why people take pain medication and they're feeling good, but they're actually hurting themselves sometimes worse because they're not realizing that they're causing further injury because of the dullness, come on, that the medication brought. So pain is actually a way that our body protects itself. Hear me now. So pain has a purpose even for us. And sometimes it takes pain for us to wake up and realize that it hurts when I do that. That didn't work out very well. I don't think I want to do that again. But pain is a safety mechanism. So again, remember Sarah and Abram, she got frustrated and impatient with God. He was silent. when she could not get pregnant. Genesis 16:1, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See how the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And of course, Abraham, "Oh, okay." Abraham heeded the voice of Sarai. Sorry. Remember, God had previously promised Abraham and Sarah a son. This is what we need to remember, is God is a promise keeper. If he tells you something, he's going to do it. We have to be patient and we have to wait on the promise. Wait on his time and don't try to help God accomplish what only he can do. I know we've all done that. We got an anxious time or moment. We became frustrated or became, you know, anxious about something. And then next thing we know, we're making a decision on impulse, but not a decision that was well thought out, because we didn't take the time to process it and run it before the Lord and wait on the Lord to respond. Come on, like Saul, God didn't respond to his request. What should we do? Should we go out to war or not? And so he decided to help out a little bit by calling in the witch of Endor. Come on. He disobeyed the Lord. It cost him greatly, didn't it? But remember, God had previously promised Abraham a son. In Genesis 18:10, he said, "I will certainly," the Lord said, "return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife shall have a son." And Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. And now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age. So if some of you want to have children at the age of 80, just, I don't know why you would, but if you were, you know, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing, therefore, what did Sarah do? She laughed within herself, saying, "After I've grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also?" Again, God keeps his promises. But his timetable, you know this, is not ours. We are to follow him. He's not going to follow us. "Lord, would you bless what I'm about to do?" Well, find out what he wants you to do, and it's already blessed. You don't have to ask God to bless what he approves. It's already blessed. We just need to trust and understand that there's just some things about God and his ways we will never figure out. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because we live by faith in God's faithfulness and not our own. That means we trust him completely. Just let it go. We talked about that this morning. Just let those things go. You can't control it. Let it go. Give it to God. So Job had rightly prophesied in chapter 23, verse 10. He knows the way that I take, and when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. And so again, what was the result of Abraham's blunder there with Hagar? They had an Ishmael. Amen. And Ishmael was basically God's plan. All right? It wasn't God's plan. That was man's plan. Isaac was God's plan. Isaac was the promised son. Ishmael was a result of a work of their flesh. Something here. Amen? On the other hand, Isaac was the promise that the Lord had made to them. So we need to believe and expect and wait on God's timing that he will do what he promised you he would do in Genesis 21:1. "And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said." God always keeps his promises. "And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken." Even though they made this mistake, hello, God still came through for them. God still kept his promise. So sometimes the enemy gets you so beat down because you did something that you knew wasn't God's will for you. You stepped out of that will, and now the enemy just continually heaps it on you over and over again and trying to bring you into a place of shame and regret. Come on. So what? So you will lose faith that God would ever bless you again. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Amen. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, what? Isaac. And that word means laughter. Because remember, she laughed. Yeah, sure, right. We're 99. I'm 99. He's 100 or something like that. We're going to have a baby, right? Well, God's ways are not our ways. And God can do anything. And He can do anything He wants. And He will do whatever He wants. So we just need to go along with it. Amen. And trust Him. And know He is love. He is good. He only has good in store for us. That's who He is. This is nature. How many know that God already told us in John 3:16 that He loves us? Amen? So if you're feeling unloved, God promised something. Amen? He loves us. I mean, it's not that we first loved Him. It's He first loved us. He already promised He would never leave us. Oh God, I'm not feeling You. I'm not hearing You. Did You leave me? Sometimes you're not feeling God at all until the moment when we respond to His voice, when we do hear His voice and hear a direction from the Lord. But God will move in accordance to His word. So when we find ourselves just doing life together with the Lord, walking with the Lord, sometimes hearing Him, sometimes He's silent. But how many know what I'm talking about? All of a sudden you get an impulse that I need to pray for somebody, or I need to call somebody. I need to check on somebody, right? And you make that call, or you make that step to pray for somebody. And now all of a sudden you feel the movement of God. Amen. Now you're feeling the Lord. Come on. But see, it's not about I'll move if I feel. I'll move if I know God has promised me to do something. Amen. Promised He would do something. And if I obey His voice, He will confirm His word. That's how He works. Hebrews 13:5 says, don't love money. Be satisfied by what you have. For God said, I will never what? Fail you. I will never abandon you. Amen. So we're not to worry about these things. We do need the Lord's counsel. Amen. We should use prudence and we should use wisdom. Amen. To financial things. But we can say with confidence, verse 6, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? So the Lord promised us that He loves us, that He never leave us, but He also promised us His strength in our times of weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9, He said to me, my grace is what? Sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, Paul said, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may do what? Rest upon me. In my weakness is His strength. When I'm strong in myself, I'm weak in the spirit. Come on. The Lord brings us to a place. The Lord is trying to wean us, if you will, off ourselves. He's trying to bring us to a place where we die to ourselves. And in that place of death to self, we can live for Him. That means I have to forsake my agenda. I have to lay it down. I have to come before the Lord and say, Lord, does this live or does this die? Does this continue to go on in my life or do I get rid of this? There are things that will go through the cross with you, amen, and other things that God says, I want you to leave it behind because it's a weight. It's a hindrance in your life. You see, there are good things that become bad things because they become idols or they become hindrances to us in our walk. How many of you have heard that you can have too much of a good thing? So He promised to work all things together for our good. So when you're going through the storm, you have to remember that there's going to be good that results from this. I have discovered that when I'm going through a storm, that God is getting ready to do something fresh and new and glorious. At the time, you're like, oh God, what's going on? What happened? To get into a place where God wants us to say, relax, Selah, right? Be still, And what? Know that I am God. I've got it. What I want you to do is sit at my feet. I want you to come into my presence and let all that stuff go. Just let it go. You're not supposed to carry it. He will carry you. He promised to carry you. Sometimes, unconfessed sin in our lives can affect our relationship with the Lord. Amen? We can lose that peace. But God wants to restore that peace. If we just be honest, take responsibility where we've missed it, where we've sinned, confess those things. He's faithful and just to forgive us. Aren't you glad that because you slip up, you're not going to hell? I don't believe that. If that were the case, nobody would be saved. But when we slip up, when we sin, when we make those blunders, immediately go to the Lord. Immediately confess it. Amen? So that your peace remains with Him. Why? Because the Lord will hold you accountable for something if you're not listening to His voice. Sometimes He will refrain from speaking to you. Now, how do I know that? Because the Word of God says that. Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. I talked about this the other day, but there's two things that we need as a believer. We need health and strength. Amen? We need to be spiritually healthy. We need to be pure. Amen? And we need the power of God. Not one without the other. Not power without health, and not health without power, but we need health, and then we need the power of God. Amen? Amen? And God will occupy a prepared vessel, amen, that's been sanctified by the blood and by the oil. Amen? God is looking for a vessel, amen, to fill. And so we need the sanctification of the Spirit. Amen? And when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Amen? And then restore us to peace, to unbroken fellowship. You see, He didn't leave us, but sometimes He's silent because it's easy to grieve the Spirit. And we are warned in the New Testament not to grieve the Spirit of God. How many know when you grieve the Spirit? If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you'll know when you grieve the Holy Spirit. Deal with it right away. Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have allowed that thought to go unchecked. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. And thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. For the purpose of fellowship, communion, and service. Amen? You're not going to serve God if you're walking around with a guilty conscience. So the blood of Christ sprinkles our conscience from dead works. Amen? God brings us into a place of harmony. All right? So that it's good in the God zone. Amen? When we have fellowship with one another. Amen? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. How many feel like you've been cleansed this morning? Amen? Well, thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Would you take a moment to bow your heads this morning? The Lord said, turn up my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my Spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. He's listening to us. The Lord wants us to put our faith, our trust in Him and not in our ability to save ourselves. And all you need to do is take this time right now. If the Lord has been dealing with you about anything, just take this time right now to make it right. Forgive me, Lord. I ask you to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord, I ask you to wash me in your precious blood. And Lord, I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask you to clothe me in your full armor. Lord, I ask you to empower me by your Spirit to be the witness I'm called to be. And by your power, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you hear me. Thank you that you forgive me. Thank you that I belong to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, Jesus. My Father, I pray for your divine protection over every one of us here. Protect us from harm. Deliver us from the evil one. Keep your hedge of protection, Lord God. Thank you that you have assigned your angels, Lord, to us to guard us in all of our ways. Thank you that you are always present, always with us. Never will I leave you or forsake you. Faithful and true, that's who you are. Thank you for every promise. Every word you say is true. We believe you, Lord. We believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe you are the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. We believe that there is salvation in none other, no other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, watch over us. Thank you for this moment, this time we've had together this morning. Thank you for your sweet presence, Lord. Thank you. We love you. We appreciate you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.